He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for Anthony and his willingness to walk in what you have called him to walk in, Father God. Lord, we know that you are leading him into pastoral ministry, and Father God, I'm thankful that he is willing just to take up the call and run with it. I know that he lives his life for Christ everywhere he goes, and he's bold, and that boldness comes from you. And so this morning, Father God, I pray that that boldness comes just out of his mouth, from his heart, the words that you have placed there, Father God. And God, that you would use his message this morning to pierce our hearts, knowing that it's not his words, it's not his message, it's what you have laid on his heart and mind to say, Father God, coming from your word, your truth. And so, Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for his longing desire to serve you, Father God. And so, Father God, this morning, I pray that you use him. Pull all of his anxieties out, and God, use him boldly. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
So when you hear the word intentional, what do you think about? What are some things that come to your mind? And you don't have to say them out. You can just think in your head. What are some things that you think about when you hear intentional? So if you Google intentional, you get this. Intentionality refers to the mind's capacity to direct itself on things. Mental states like thoughts, beliefs, desires, and hopes exhibit intentionality in the sense that they are always directed on or at something. Being intentional means being present, making thoughtful choices in your life, and living a life that's purposeful and deliberate. It's about making conscious choices and decisions to ensure that you, that ensures what you do each day enables you to focus on what's really important to you. Webster's Dictionary puts it like this: done on purpose and deliberate with intent and purpose. So think about those two things for a second: intent and purpose. What are some things that you intentionally do? Some people intentionally study so they can get smarter. Some intentionally work out so they can get stronger and in shape. Everybody intentionally eats to keep up our strength. Everyone intentionally sleeps to get rest and re-energized. These are some good things that people do with the right intent. There are also some bad things that people do. Unfortunately, we live in a lost and broken world, and people do things with bad intentions. People can get mad intentionally. You ever been talking to somebody and just all of a sudden they get mad at you? You have no clue why they got mad at you. You're in the middle of having a conversation. People intentionally lie to you sometimes. Sometimes they lie to you so they can get mad at you. I've had it happen. Sometimes it gets them out of a situation that they know that he did that they were wrong to get into. Some people just lie to get out of that. Some people steal. Some people even kill intentionally. So we know that the intentions of evil, the intentions of Satan. If you look at John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." And in the same verses, Jesus says his intentions, "That I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest, and that they is you." Yeah, but what does it mean to be intentional? I'm glad you thought that. We're going to talk about that today. So we're going to look at Jesus' life and how he lived intentionally. See, we're closing out the series on Look Like Jesus, and this week we're going to loop them all together in examples to show how Jesus, in the core of his life, was intentional in all of the things that he did. See, we have to make the best use of our time here on earth while we have it, because one day we're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to ask us if we completed the work that he had for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that's a good conversation from myself and Jesus. Standing there before Jesus, I hope he tells me in Matthew 25:23, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But do you ever think about the things that we do in life, the things that take up our time, that have no ultimate value, no eternal value. When we get to the end of our time and we look back and say, man, I lost so much time to this, right, to that. And did it really even matter? Sitting at the end of my life, did all the time that I gave that job, that sport, that hobby, that Netflix show, that social media screen time, did it really have an impact on my life? I'm not saying some of these things aren't good things, but what I'm saying is when we let them consume the majority of our time, our day, our lives, what are we really living for? Imagine for a second standing before the Creator of the world and He asks you, what did you do with your life? Yo, Jesus, check this out, man. I got all this stuff, man. You see all the stuff I accumulated? You see my house, 15 rooms. You see all this land I bought, I go hunting on, I got, you know, ponds and all that. I got this 401k loaded down. I got all these extra clothes, shoes, I got all this awesome stuff. And I imagine Jesus looking at me and says, yeah, but you know, those are all good things, but what did you do with them? What did you do for the kingdom? Then I imagine Jesus quoting James 1:17, every good thing comes from God. Every perfect gift is from Him. For me, that's going to sting a little bit. If I got to be honest with you, it's going to sting some. But what about you? Do you even care if your life matters? That's a tough question. John Piper, a well-known pastor, did a sermon about don't waste your life. In this sermon, he urges people to do something with their life that matters. He said that is important. He says you don't have to know a lot of things in life to make a difference in the world. He said, but you do have to know a few great things matter. And this is the key part. He says you must be willing to live for them and die for them. He says if you want your life to count, and think about some of the things that I mentioned earlier, he says, you have to know a few great things matter. See, if you want this ripple effect of the pebble that you drop to become waves at the end of the earth, you have to be set on fire and be passionate about what matters. That's what Paul is writing about here in Ephesians 5:15-16 when he writes, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Paul's saying, hey, church, live your life intentionally. Live your life with meaning, meaning that reaches others and has an impact in other people's lives, that glorifies Christ in all that you do to give others a hope. You see, to look like Jesus, we must be intentional like Jesus. So how did Jesus live with intention? He loved us, as we heard a few weeks ago now at this point. See, Jesus loves everybody. He died for us so that we could be alive with Him. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. When others get frustrated with you, when others get mad at you, when they get on your last nerves, I had Madison tell me the other week that I got on her last nerves. She's 7. Like, how many nerves have I gotten on already? Do you continue to love them, though? Do you intentionally put yourself out there so that they can see the love of Christ in you? Man, it's hard to love intentionally. It's hard. We have to deny ourselves many times. You can look in Matthew 16:24. You must die to yourself daily. Look in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Look in Philippians 2:3. And you must put on a compassionate and loving heart. If you look in Colossians 3:12-13. And these things are hard. I want to read you an insert from a book that I'm reading about Jesus. It says, all divine names and titles apply to Him. He is called God, the mighty God, the great God, God over all, Jehovah, Lord, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All divine attributes are ascribed to him. He is declared omniscient, almighty, and immutable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is set forth ruler of the universe. All things were created by him and for him. He is the object of our worship to all intelligent creatures, even the highest. He is the object of all religious sentiments, of reverence, love for their character and conduct. To him, men and angels are responsible for their character and conduct. He requires that man should exercise the same honor in him as they honor the Father, that they exercise the same faith in him that they do God. He declares that he and the Father are one, and that those who have seen him have seen the Father. He calls men unto him to give them rest and peace, to forgive their sins and send them the Holy Spirit, to give them eternal life. He has been the Christian's God from the beginning, in all ages and all places. That Jesus gave his life for you. That's the intentional love shown from the Creator of the world, that he intentionally gave his life for us so that we can live for him. To be intentional like Jesus, we must love like Jesus. When was the last time you showed this type of love? This sacrificial love? Jesus put himself at risk time after time when he walked earth. He ran into all the religious leaders of the time that hated what he taught, hated what he stood for. So every time that he went out in the street, Jesus was in danger. It's not easy to love that way. That's why we're talking about being intentional today. You have to intentionally love at all times, and it can be hard. People can be hard. Life can be hard. See, I come home after 12 hours or so. There's 15 kids in the house throwing stuff around. I have to intentionally not pack my stuff up and go back home, back to work. It's tough. But we have to intentionally love others and show others the love of Christ, right? Sometimes that comes with the cost of stepping out of our comfort zones, doing things out of love in which we normally wouldn't do, don't want to do, but it's not about us. Jesus intentionally gave his life for you so you could intentionally live for him. You see, to live intentional like Jesus, we must be bold like Jesus. We learned a few weeks ago that living intentionally means that we have to live bold. We have to be intentional in speaking about Jesus in tough situations. When others criticize us, talk down to us, badmouth us, we have to look for ways to overcome fear and be bold. At times, we have no other choice but to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us that boldness. But we intentionally put ourselves in places to have those interactions, right? We have to go and speak with boldness. You see, Jesus didn't just stay shut up inside hoping that someone would come to his front door. Jesus constantly was on the move in the community. He constantly was moving, going, seeing. He wasn't scared to be out there. He welcomed the conversations. He welcomed the challenges. How many times do we read Jesus encountering the leaders of his day? Intentionally challenged them out of the boldness in the teachings that they were teaching. He intentionally challenged them in how they acted and treated others. Jesus had to be intentional with his boldness because he knew that his life was on the line. And he knew his disciples were watching. And for them to go out and proclaim Christ, they were going to have that same boldness. Their life was going to be on the line just as well. He knew that being intentional, because he had to show us what we would face too. We would face ridicule, jokes, tough conversations, right? We had to be bold in those. We have to be bold in those. So are you intentionally being bold in your life in order to point others to Christ? Do you share the gospel in truth? Pray for gospel boldness to be a regular part of your life, to intentionally think about boldness and to speak when you have the opportunities to share the gospel. You see, to live intentionally like Jesus, we must be engaged like Jesus. We talked about being engaged a few weeks ago, that living like Jesus, we must be engaged. But how does that look with intentionality? See, I don't know about you, but it's real easy for me to check out of something, right? When something gets really, really difficult, when this person is very needy, when what's going on in the community ain't what I like, it's real easy for me to check out. Let somebody else deal with it. And then go to social media and put what we want to put, how we feel about it. But Jesus gives us an easy way in with people just by engaging them. The hospitality. By opening up our lives to others. And it takes a lot of intentionality to engage people that way. You have to put yourself out there, and that's not easy. But people need it. People are wanting it. You got to be intentional in how you run to the community with the gospel, how you put yourself in different situations so that you can share the gospel in the community. You have to engage them with truth. You should be intentional in how you live in order to point people to Jesus. See, when you look across the scriptures on Jesus' life, Jesus was intentional in everything that he did. He was intentional in where he went and what he did, how he addressed the situations, all pointing back to the Father. In John 4:34, the disciples urged Jesus to take the time to eat. And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work." See, Jesus was saying, I get the nourishment from doing the work of the Father, right? That's what re-energizes me, going out serving people, helping people. He lived intentional so that he could give life to others and point to the Father and give them hope and meaning. That's something we called humility. To live intentional like Jesus, we must show humility like Jesus. Staying humble isn't easy. Pride is the root of all of us. That pride kicks in and we don't want to submit ourselves or lower ourselves, and we want to be selfish. We want to look out for number one, for us. But Jesus shows us, hey, this life isn't about us. It's not about me, it's about him. Everything that we do, how we act, the way that we treat others, the way that we love others, is rooted in staying humble. You have to remind yourself of this often. I have to remind myself of this often. Do you ever stop and think about that conversation that you have with someone when you humble yourself, just to pause for a second? You do something for someone, and that 1 second could be the turning point of their life. That you're stepping into the most important point of someone's life, and you don't even know it, just by slowing down for a second. That interaction could be coming in the midst of the storm of someone's life, and you intentionally humbled yourself to seek them out, made all the difference in the world. I remember talking to a coworker once. I felt the Holy Spirit kind of pushing at me to ask them how they were doing, how their day was going. And I was fighting against it. I really didn't want to. It wasn't a good place. I really didn't care at that moment. So kept fighting back, and I finally gave in. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, man, how's your day going? Like, how's everything going?" And that guy let the floodgates go, right? "Man, my mom's in the hospital. My brothers did this. I'm struggling. I can't do this. I'm financially struggling." But on the outside in, he looked like he was fine, right? He said, "Man, I've been putting on a mask every day coming to work, just trying to get through, and inside dying." We stopped, we prayed, we talked about it, encouraged the guy. But that's what I mean by just taking a second and seeing somebody and engaging them and talking to them. Could be, you never know what moment they're going through. But ask yourself this: how often, because of pride, do you miss opportunities to share the gospel? That prayer that you've been praying about, "Hey man, put somebody in my life so that I can share Christ with them," or whatever. What if God looks at you and tells you, "Hey, I done put like 8 people in your life," and you just keep on going, like you don't have time? It takes intentionality, looking at yourself and humbling yourself. Jesus did this often. In Luke 5:12-16, Luke tells us about Jesus healing a man with leprosy. "While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmity. But he withdrew to a desolate places and prayed. You see, in this moment right here, Jesus could have been a rock star. All the people were coming to him, and Jesus withdrew. He intentionally withdrew to go humble himself before the Father. Now, you see this nowadays. Come here, Jimmy, come here. Hey, if your name is Jimmy, I'm just saying. Hey, Jimmy, come here. Go over here. I'm gonna give to the needy, right? I need you to get a picture of it, right? I need you to take a picture of it. Or just like a lot of times now, we don't live in that humility, right? We want to get the likes on TikTok or whatever. You see, Jesus didn't. Jesus does things and he humbled himself, right? He got away. He didn't take popularity. That leads me to prayer. To be intentional like Jesus, we must pray like Jesus. If we all ask ourselves, going back to my earlier comments on your life and what matters, what would any of us say, man, I wish I would have prayed less. I wish I didn't spend as much time praying as I do. And if you answered yes to that, TJ's here later when I leave, so you talk to TJ. But really, if you're like me, I have to be intentional when I pray. And even then, I fail to pray sometimes. Worse yet, I get caught up in my own schedule, my own self, and that pride thing kicks in, and then I forget to look all around me at the opportunities that God has given me. The root of our life that establishes the foundation of our day should be rooted in prayer. Jesus intentionally got up early. Jesus intentionally took off to silent places. He intentionally set aside time in his busy 33-year life to pray urgently and often. Jesus at one point poured blood from praying. He was getting ready to go to the cross, and Jesus poured blood praying. I have to intentionally stay focused for 2 minutes praying. And I know I'm not the only one here. You start praying, you got this list of things you want to pray for, and then you start daydreaming, your mind goes somewhere else. Did you feed the dog? Did you take them out? What do you got to do tomorrow? So being intentional of staying focused. We all do it. I love it when the church gets to get together and go out and do different things in the community, right? And we have the opportunity to pray for others or be Christ in others' lives, right? This happened when we were on our way back from Alaska. Some guy was having some issues, and one of the members of our group was having a conversation with him and learned some details going on in this person's life. Instead of just saying, "Hey, man, yeah, I hear you, cool. Hey, I'm going to pray for you. I'm out, you know, going on about my way." He grabbed a few men and was intentional about what he had told him. He said, "Hey, man, I know you got this going on and you got it and all this, but we just want to pray with you. We want to share Christ with you." And the Holy Spirit was moving. That's being intentional in both humility and prayer. Taking the time to see an opportunity God's given you and then actually executing on that. You see, Jesus gives your life meaning. Living for Christ is the essence of helping others find that same meaning. See, when we live intentionally for Christ, we seek ways to share Christ with others. It should be what wakes us up in the morning. Not, "Yeah, man, it's the weekend. I get to do this. I get to do that." But, man, I get to go out and I get to live for Christ today. I get to show others what gives me meaning. To be intentional like Jesus, we must live sent and on mission like Jesus. That means being intentional and living sent and on mission. That doesn't mean that you have to pack up and go, although it could, but it does mean that the intention of your life is to live on mission for Jesus Christ, where you live, work, play, and learn, all have an impact on others for Christ. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." So you are serving the Lord Christ. That means intentionally on the mission field daily. See, Jesus has placed you in a sphere of influence that most of us can't go. Many of you will touch people that many of us here can't. This half of the room is going to be able to touch people that this half can't, and vice versa, right? You look around, and you ever wonder how many people that Harmony may touch in a day? There was this study done recently that said most people interact, and interact, I mean like have a two-minute conversation, something like that, but 16 to 25 people on average a day. That sounded rather low to me until I started doing the math. And you think about 250 members come and go on a Sunday in Harmony. That's 4,000 people we interact with in a day. It's 28,000 conversations in a week that we have with other people. See, living missional for Christ in your everyday life just became a lot more important. That's a huge number. Now think about those 28,000 people a week that we encounter. How many of them have we invited, one, to church, two, to a small group if you have it, and then most important, three, into a living relationship with Jesus Christ? How have you been intentionally inviting those that we encounter on a daily basis? And if that answer's low, what does it say is most important to us? What are you saying to those around us is the most important thing that we have to do that day? Because it ain't them. To be intentional like Jesus, we must be inviting like Jesus. We must be intentional in sharing and giving others the opportunity to hear the gospel. We must invite them into a life of faith with Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's inviting them into our lives by either showing hospitality into our home, by inviting them into small group, inviting them into church, or just inviting them into your life. And in doing so, you're opening the door to inviting them into a life with Christ. Romans 10, 14 says, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?" We are how they hear. Paul is talking to us. You have to be intentional and invite others into a relationship with Christ. Invite those that God has placed you in their lives. You are the messenger for those who don't know Christ. So you have to be intentional in inviting. You may be the only person in them 28,000 people that we interact with on a week. You may be the only person that's able to share Christ with them. So what's holding you back from being intentional? What do you need to do or eliminate in order to be intentional in helping others grow in Christ? What do you need to do to be more intentional in obedience? You see, to be intentional like Jesus, you must sacrifice like Jesus. That's a word we don't like too much, huh? Say it with me, sacrifice. That's a tough word even saying. Woo. See, we must pick up our cross daily in order to follow Jesus. This means intentionally giving away your time for others, intentionally giving away your comforts, intentionally putting yourself out there for hurt, intentionally putting yourself in places that you know Christ is needed, intentionally sacrificing your time, your energy, your effort in order to disciple others or let others disciple you if you aren't where you need to be in your Christian walk. That made me give it up hobbies to spend time with other Christian men and women, maybe giving up sleep to join a Bible study, giving up some of your time and comfort to join a small group and grow together with others, sacrificing your comfort, your pride, your selfishness, your time, your talents in order to help others grow and Christ. I can almost bet you that when you get to the end of your life, you won't say, man, I wish I wouldn't have discipled that person. Or I wish I would have grown less in Christ. I wish I wouldn't have taken the time to help that person in need. Jesus doesn't look back and regret this. Jesus came as God in flesh and has obeyed God perfectly and has therefore won the right to all the blessings God originally intended to give men and women. Furthermore, through his sacrificial death on the cross, he has paid the debt that we owe to God for disobeying his commands. There is therefore no need anymore for us to hide from God. In Jesus, we come home and we can be restored. The climax of the gospel is the great news that he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he now intercedes on our behalf. He gives the Holy Spirit to all his people, and he slowly but surely changes our hearts, changes our desires, and teaches us how to be the children of God as we were always intended to be. Jesus doesn't look back and regret his life for these reasons. He knew the cost, but he also knows the reward. When you look like Christ, when you try to look like Christ, sometimes it requires all the above attributes. Relationships with people in general require all these attributes. But when Jesus asks, hey, what did you do with your life? You can look up and say, hey, Jesus, look, bro, I loved like you. I humbled myself for you. I was obedient for you. I lived on mission for you. I invited for you. I prayed like you. I sacrificed for you. I engaged like you. I was bold for you. I lived my life intentionally for you. And when you say these things, I can hear Jesus say in the words of Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful servant. And I can assure you that you won't regret that. Let us pray. Father, as we leave here today, Father, I just pray that we could go out, Father, and live our life intentionally. Father, that we can go and just do the things that are hard, Father. Father, living life with people sometimes is just difficult. But the reward that we don't see is in heaven, Father, that we may be the person that you've put in that person's life, Father, in other people's lives that may not have a chance to share the gospel, but we do because we have a relationship with them. Father, I pray that we could just slow down and look around, Father, and intentionally see where you have us, why you have us there. Father, and just let us focus on you and glorify you in those conversations and sharing the gospel with those. Father, the world is, it's a broken world, it's a lost world, Father, and they're all looking for hope. Father, and we have it in Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.